Studio 360.
Donald Trump is an extremist leader who came out of nowhere. He's self-financed, recruits through social media, attracts his followers with a radical ideology to take over the world, and is actively trying to promote a war between Islam and the West. Donald Trump is white ISIS. WISIS.
As jihadi attacks continue around the world and the Trump administration keeps trying to institute its travel ban on immigrants from seven countries that happen to be majority Muslim, it is a dicey time for American Muslims. But life seems unusually great right now for Hasan Minhaj, whose Muslim parents immigrated here from India. The 31-year-old comic is killing it as a correspondent on The Daily Show. He just released a new comedy special on Netflix and recently appeared as the comedian at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. The first Muslim to do so, just as President Trump became the first president to skip the dinner in 36 years when Ronald Reagan missed it because he was recovering from being shot.
Jeff Sessions going to be here tonight? He was busy doing a pre-Civil War reenactment. On his RSVP, he just wrote no, just no, which happens to be his second favorite N-word.
See, I love the ones that get the groans from that audience.
Me too.
They suck as an audience, don't they? I've been to that event.
Okay.
Washington politicians, journalists, they're squares.
I got great advice from previous performers. Larry Wilmore gave me this piece of advice, and it's two things. He was like, keep your foot on the gas. Don't let the groans throw you off.
Yes.
Keep your foot on the gas. And number two, don't apologize or qualify anything.
There are so many rich, powerful people in this room. You know, it's nice to finally match the names to the faces in the Panama Papers. It's very nice, right? Groans are good. Groans are good.
So I had done all the long division in my head. Yeah. I had run through the set with the writers, my head writer, Prashant. I had ran it by Steve Bodo.
Who's the executive producer of the Daily Show.
Guys who'd been to war, who've been into this room, who are familiar with what I'm about to go into. And so I had cleared in my conscience and with my close group of collaborators that I trust that these are all fair jokes. In other words, I wanted to be cutting but not cruel. I wanted to make fun of people for their merit, not their looks.
Were there any like jokes that you just decided, oh, this is really good and this killed in the clubs, but it's just too mean for this room?
Yeah, there was a joke that we had about something along the lines of the day before Trump was speaking to the NRA in Atlanta. As you know, he's also recently signed an executive order making it even easier for people with severe mental illnesses to get a gun. So in case you're wondering, Donald Trump is loving his new gun. To imply that he's mentally ill, again, there's things that I wanted to do that I didn't want to make these huge leaps. I made a choice. I was like, I did this joke about, you know, Trump doesn't drink, right?
That means every statement, every interview, every tweet, completely sober. How is that possible?
That to me is, again, a more clever cutting joke than being like, and he's mentally ill.
So how long before that gig at the end of April did you get this call?
3 weeks.
Really?
3 weeks. Like, it was one of those things no one wanted to touch. But I thought that, hey, we're at a very interesting moment in our country. And who I am, given my background, is also, to me, a big middle finger to the administration. And I have a unique perspective. I felt like maybe I have something to add.
Did you? And there were, you immediately said, yeah, sure, I'll do this?
No, I had to think about it for a little bit. Because, again, you get that call and you're like, well, I'm not trying to belittle myself, but why are they asking me?
Yeah.
There was this thing of like, wait, if these other people that are far more successful than me are saying
no.
Do they know something I don't know?
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Did you watch old ones to prepare? Like I remember the Colbert one, when Colbert was new.
Yeah, I watched everybody's going into it. And Stephen became the bar because he did this brilliant performance artist piece.
With George W. Bush,
which George
sitting,
w. Bush
right, next
sitting
to
right there.
Now, I know there's some polls out there saying that this man has a 32% approval rating. But guys like us, we don't pay attention to the polls. We know that polls are just a collection of statistics that reflect what people are thinking in reality. And reality has a well-known liberal bias.
And then, you know, Seth Meyers in 2011 had this brilliant, very tactical individual roast of the room. And then this run on Donald Trump, which became infamous and viral in and of itself.
Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke. Donald Trump said recently he has a great relationship with the blacks, though unless the blacks are a family of white people, I bet he's mistaken.
If Trump had been there, would you have done a different? I mean, obviously,
of course,
it would be different. But would it be totally different?
I think that my closing statement definitely would have been different.
That you get serious at the end.
Yeah. And my closing statement was about, again, at that point, for 20 minutes, I had, you know, been giving it to the administration and the president and also media. But there was this connecting point where I talked about the curve that they're being graded on, that, you know, you got to be twice as good. You can't make any mistakes because when one of you messes up, the administration blames the entire group. And now you know what it feels like to be a minority.
Right. Which was excellent. And again, it wasn't just that one joke. You kind of went on.
Yeah.
In a way that I, as they did the shots of people reacting, I thought, oh, they're getting this. They're getting this.
So if you want to survive the age of Trump, you got to think like a minority. And now that you're a minority, oh, man. Everyone is going to expect you to be the mouthpiece for the entire group. So I hate to say it, but somewhere right now, all of you are being represented by Geraldo Rivera.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, like to me, I'm just like, let me now paint the picture. But that came from a look. I just want to speak from my perspective, and maybe to survive the age of Trump, you have to start thinking like a minority. Because these are you have to deal with the same variables
right.
I have to
and,
deal with.
And yes, Hassan, you're one of the good ones. You're the one someone's been
like, yeah.
Which now people right. say to people who work at the New York Times.
Sure. Oh, that was a good story. You're actually one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Aw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn Thrush, you're one of the good ones.
Yeah. Was there any conversation, given the weirdness of this year and this president and everything else, with the organizers saying, Hassan, maybe don't go there or maybe don't do this?
Yeah. I mean, when Jeff Mason announced that I was going to be the comedian to perform.
Who's the president of the
White House Correspondents Association for this year? He did it on Morning Joe. And, you know, he said, we didn't want to choose a host who would roast the president in absentia. And that, you know, as we would have conversations over the weeks leading up to the event, he kind of, you know, reiterated that point. I had pitched some ideas.
Did that piss you off?
A little bit, yeah, because I wanted to the theme of the night, there's a blue banner behind me protecting the First Amendment. And you want me to censor myself to appease the emotions of the president. And to me, the hypocrisy of that is so messed up. Because he's the one who abuses his First Amendment rights and doesn't even want to attend an event that celebrates the very amendment he abuses on a daily basis. And you want me to, like, play nice with him? I think that died January 20th.
So you basically said, I'm going to go ahead and say what I'm going to say about Donald Trump, regardless of what you guys are saying?
It wasn't that I was going to just say anything willy-nilly.
Right.
I was just going to say how I really feel.
Right.
You know, and just be honest.
From Comedy Central's World News Headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
For all kinds of reasons, you and The Daily Show
yeah.
are in an interesting place in this post-fact, we don't care about reality, we'll believe whatever we want to believe era.
Yeah, we're in this interesting middle world, so to speak.
You go and do these field pieces in quote-unquote middle America, in Texas or wherever. You reported from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Yes.
Do you feel like this is giving you an opportunity to interact with regular folks who, for instance, Trump voters, that you wouldn't have had otherwise?
100%. Let's take an issue that was like the repeal and replace of Obamacare. I want to try to understand where are you coming from? Because I do believe you think what you're doing is right. And I think it's relative. People are looking at me. They're going, this Indian American Muslim kid is standing here and he wants to get rid of the Muslim ban. So he wants to risk American lives to let some Syrian refugees come into our country. Wow, great. He's trying to put us in danger. And I'm looking at Paul Ryan saying the same thing. You're trying to put 24 million American lives in danger. Where's the disconnect? What am I not seeing on his side and what is he not seeing on my side?
In this Netflix special, which is not so much about the politics of being Muslim or anything else, it's about being Muslim and about being an immigrant, which you aren't, but your parents were.
Child of immigrants,
And about romance and all those family and all those normal comedic subjects. It's called Homecoming King.
Yes.
Here is a clip.
Right? Like, roll call was a problem. It was a big deal for, like, a lot of us. Yeah, I would get all, like, Hanson Minaja, Sahan Minha, Saddam Hussein.
There are, as we heard, traditional stand-up jokes, but the format in general, if you watch it for a while longer, has this different, slower, more storytelling-like pace, it seemed to me, than just Seinfeld.
Yeah. I did that on purpose because I wanted to do things on stage that are a little bit more evergreen, but still contemporary in work. And personal stories, I think, do have that lasting power. What's interesting is a lot of those themes that I talk about in the show, race, identity, what does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be a patriotic American? Love, all these things, I think, are still relevant in 2017 America. But they are grounded in just my personal experience. And doing the special as a theatrical show gives me, again, the leeway to go between traditional da-dun-tsh setup punch jokes, but then also just parts that are more poignant and just a little bit more thought-provoking where I don't need X amount of laughs per minute.
I'm going to play another clip from your Netflix special. This is talking about your parents' meeting.
In 10 minutes, the man married a woman he had never laid eyes on. You understand? That's Tinder with no photos. It's like, yeah, I want that for the rest of my life. I hope she has a good personality. Let's move to the United States, where we're the only people that know each other.
You also joke about your father in the correspondence dinner thing. How do your parents react to this?
The show Homecoming King, it does very intimately talk about this tension, this generational tension between me and my dad, the way in which immigrants look at this country and the way I do, the way my dad very pragmatically was against comedy, me having a girlfriend, me making a lot of the choices that I made in my life from strict pragmatism and practicality. Hey, man, you are my first round draft pick. I brought you to America. You are the Simba to my Mufasa. You have to deliver the dream to Pride.
I bet he didn't say that.
But
yes, I get
but it boils down to that.
Yeah.
So why are you going to the craps table called the American Dream and rolling and betting on comedian? That embodied so much of what my parents, my dad specifically, was about. And for me, it was about, you know, choice and having the audacity of equality and all these, you know, nuanced sort of takes on what it means to be American. It worked out. And I'm lucky that over the course of the show in my life that both me and my dad have been able to have a much better understanding of one another. And the things that he ultimately was fighting for are actually quite honorable. I see a lot of the truth in what he's saying. And he's, you know,
but when he hears you making jokes about to the Washington leaders, is he go, oh, dude, Hassan.
You know, I was standing on the podium and I look over. My parents are actually sitting. I brought my parents there, my parents and my sister. And I look over to the right and my sister and my mom and dad are like on the edge of their seats. They were so nervous for me.
Proud of you, no doubt.
Sure. But they also were – they also knew the magnitude of what was going on and they didn't want me to mess up and then that be the headline, you know. I remember when I made the Costco joke.
We all love our parents, but we wouldn't endorse them for president. Like, if someone's like, hey, Hassan, should your dad be president of the United States? I'd be like, my dad, Najmi Minaj? The guy who tries to return used underwear to Costco?
My dad just kind of winced a little bit. But then he looked up and he saw everybody else sort of laughing. And I think in that moment, he realized, oh, everybody kind of has a dad that tries to return used underwear to Costco. It's okay. And there's this theme that I talk about in the show called Lokya Kenge, what will people think? What will people say? It's this concern that I think a lot of people have, and especially in the immigrant community, we have this of like, what are people going to think about us? What are people in the community going to say about us? And I think he could – the times that he's come and watched me at the Correspondence Center and he was at the taping of the show, my sister told me that he would watch other people and when he would see them laugh or a kid turn to their parent and sort of hit them and be like, isn't that so true? it made him feel a lot more okay about it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Yeah. Hasan Minhaj, this has been a pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Hasan Minhaj is a correspondent on The Daily Show, and his new special, Homecoming King, is freshly available on Netflix.